Welcome to the Post-Christian Podcast, where we help you make disciples in our increasingly post-Christian world. My name is Eric Bryant. I'm one of the executive pastors at Gateway Church in Austin, Texas, along with the founder of Catalyzing Community. You can go to ericbryant.org to sign up for my email newsletter to receive free resources. In today's episode of the Post-Christian Podcast, we bring back for the third time Dr. Salim Munayer. Salim is the founder of Musalaha, a ministry of reconciliation that brings together Jews and Palestinians, Christians and Muslims. His material is used at places like Pepperdine's Law School. He shares with an online group from Gateway in Austin, Texas. Listen in as he shares some meaningful and important insights. So again, good morning. Welcome, everyone. This is Dr. Salim Munayer. I met Salim in I must have met you in 2016 because I took a trip to see your ministry in action to serve some of the Palestinian Christians and Palestinian Muslim teenagers. We also got to see the Holy Land, one of the most remarkable experiences of my life. And so I'm super excited. He's in town this week and going to be sharing with us today. So here is 2 Corinthians 5. Which part of the passage would you like for us to read, Salim?
Good morning to everybody from verse 17 and on.
All right. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone. The new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against him, and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God.
Okay, why don't we just pray? Father, we come for you to give you the praise and glory and honor, as you are our loving God, creator, working in our world, renew it, changing to the day where you will be present with us. Lord, we pray for your Holy Spirit to inspire us and to help us. Before I dive in into the passage, let me give you a little bit information about myself. I'm Palestinian Christian and also Israeli citizen. Palestinian Christians are part of the Palestinian people. The indigenous people of the land are coming from different ethnic backgrounds. Palestine is a bridge between Asia, Africa, and Europe, and as a result, we are a good Middle Eastern salad in our history with Jewish, Arab, Canaanite, Roman, Greek, Phoenician. That's what makes unique who we are. Christians, we belong to the early church, that some of it is coming from Jewish background, the other one from Arab background. Arab Christianity existed in the land from the beginning, and also a more in the coast people that are more Greek and Phoenician background. And that is ongoing presence in the land as a Christians. And one thing that we see ourselves as our identity, as universal testimony, that truly this is the land of the fathers, of the prophets. This is the land where truly Jesus born, where he grew up, taught, healed, crucified, and resurrected. And his resurrection relates to the passage that I'll be talking about. So throughout century, the community were able to exist, but there's a lot of difficulties. And in 1948, my family that was living in the city of Lida, where for many Christians around the world, it's important because the city of St. George is a patron of England and many other countries around the world. You will see him on the horse killing the dragon. I'll not get into his story, but the dragon there is resembling from the Book of Revelation, the Roman Empire. And the city got conquered and by Jewish forces in 1948. The people were expelled. There was a massacre. But my family was able to find refuge in the church and stay there. And they became refugees in their hometown. And as a result, I grew up in a city. It was a mix of Palestinian Christian Muslims and Jews. So interacting, learning, studying in the different thank you, Eric. Interacting and knowing Hebrew and Arabic, going to Jewish school, going to Christian and Palestinian schools. So I'm multicultural, multi-language, and also very much aware of the other faith, religion, cultures in our region. Upon my return from the state after my seminary training at Fuller, I was teaching Israeli and Palestinian, and the reality of the conflict, as you know right now, there is horrible things happening. We're experiencing in Gaza a genocide and a lot of attacks in the West Bank. So the situation is really is horrible. It's terrible, worse than you see on the TV. So the question that we have, how we as a Christian responding to conflict and what we do about it. So in the beginning, I have the approach that in many Christian, what we call reconciliation is atonement theology. Jesus died for us, and as a result, we reconciled to God and to each other. And I found that this aspect is very limiting, very individualistic, and not really encompassing all what God has for us and what God did in Christ. And also, it was very much Western, and it's limited in many ways, is as sometimes in atonement theology, we are trying to appease God's anger. And I think my approach is that God relate to us as creator, as loving, as caring, as sustainer. And as a result, the 2 Corinthians chapter 5 is very, very important because in Christ, the event of Christ is total change of history. Things are not anymore or what it used to be. And Paul described it as the old is dying out and new is coming in. And I was trying to explain that to some of the people. It's like a process, like when you have a snake is chilling his old skin and having a new skin. That is the closest I could be. But it's more than that. The language of 2 Corinthians, the language of the resurrection, the Sunday morning, the language of Gospel of John is the language of creation. Something new drastically has happened with the crucifixion of Jesus and his resurrection. God is reconciling the world to himself. God not reconciling us as individual. God is not only reconciling us to other Christian. God in the process of reconciling the whole cosmos, the whole creation. For God so loved the world, and so he gave us his son. We read in the Gospel of John that the light, this is the first day of Genesis. Mary, when she came in the morning, it's a new thing that's happening. So here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, if you look on it, you'll see a description what God is doing and what the response of us. So he's saying, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. It's already happened. So he's inviting us. If you believe, you are invited to God's new creation process. The old has gone. So listen, hear. Something has happened drastically, Paul is saying. The old has gone. The way it used to be until now is changed. Now there is a new things happening here. And all of that is from God, that he did a reconciliation through Christ, but then he gave us the ministry of reconciliation. So you, in verse 18, you see what God is have done to us, then he gave us the ministry of reconciliation. So the ministry of reconciliation here is more than just proclamation. It's more than just evangelism. It's joining what God is doing ultimately in all his creation. Then the next verse, again, it tells us what God did for us. Then then in verse 19, and he committed us the message of reconciliation. Here is the message coming from the Roman Empire gospel. That means Caesar have declaration, and the duty of the people of the Roman Empire, their army, is to bring this message to the end of the world. So Caesar declares something, but the rest and to the end of the Roman Empire need to hear that. So we have a message to give to the world. This message is exciting. This message comes in context of war and famine in the Roman Empire. And Paul is saying God is doing something new that he started in Christ, and he's inviting us, and he's saying, if you are a new creation, you carry this message. You have a ministry. You have responsibility for the whole world. Then we are ambassador, what God did, and he appointed us as ambassadors. Ambassadors are people that go to other territory, other people, other language. They learn the language, they learn the situation. So when you have ambassadors coming to Jerusalem, they have to study the culture, the people, the language, the issues, the people they are having. So here there's something really, really important. We live in a world that's been affected to a large degree in the last, especially in the last 150 years, with this new theology that wasn't in the church until then, that the world is leading toward destruction. The world is bad. The world is evil. And we are waiting for the end time. We're waiting for the destruction of the world in order to be taken rapture from this world. This concept does not exist, from my point of view, in the scripture. Because in the book of Revelation, Paul is talking about new creation, new heaven, new earth, God come and present with us, and the leaves of the tree bring healing to the nation. And he is inviting us to this world to be his ambassador. That means we need to go out to other people and represent him. Ambassador tried to speak for his government, not to reveal his opinion. And there is here also very, very important message that is giving us that in time of difficulties, that the message of the book of Revelation also come with 2 Corinthians, because the book of Revelation shows us that the evil of the world is involving in damaging the creation that we're living in different ways. So if you look into the situation right now in the Gaza Strip, the destruction, the houses, the water, the systems, this is evil. This is something's wrong. This is not from God. And into that situation, as disparate is, as hard it is, God is sending us with a message. God is having us to go there and pleading before the people to choose other way. So we are taking part in something so exciting, so that we are taking part in something that God is doing with the whole cosmos. So it's not only reconciliation between me and my Christian brothers or my wife or my brothers or my sister. We are taking part in the Genesis chapter 1 and 2, where Adam of Eve spoiled it. And now we're taking part in that things that God is doing. So So that means that also other people are subject. Other people are, we are called to serve, to help, to call them to reconcile for God. So it's not limiting only to the Christian, not limiting only to the church. It's not only limiting to people, also to creation. And as we see, I'm going back today to Los Angeles and the floods, the water, the rain, all of that, as Paul is saying also in Romans chapter 8, that the whole creation is aching, awaiting the revelation of the children of God. So the whole creation also has been affected by the sin. And as a result, we are joining God in the redemption of the whole things, because God is good, God is creator, and God wants to renew and to reestablish again his throne in his creation. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Salim. So just the implications of that are, you know, the beginning of the story, Genesis chapter 1, we see God and humanity in the garden. There was no barrier. And then in our freedom, we chose to go our own way. But the end of the story is heaven and earth reunited. And so, and in the middle of that, the apex of the whole story is Jesus, you know, a human being who is God walking among us, heaven and earth, then telling us as followers of Jesus to pray that the God's kingdom come, his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So these last few days with Salim, it's been really great learning how to bring more of heaven to earth. Like, how do we bring the message of God's love, but also look for injustices to bring rightness? I want to put up on the screen the six stages of reconciliation, and then let you kind of take a look at this. And if you have any questions for Salim, this is a great time to do it. But this idea of beginning relationships, people start to open up, and then when they hear the other person's story, it becomes challenging. Then some people opt out. Then there's this idea of reclaiming identity, committing and returning, taking the steps. Maybe if you don't mind, Salim, just as an example, share about the desert experience, how you've used this common ground, but it's basically taking them both to a place where they're uncomfortable. Talk about that for a minute, how you've seen that bring reconciliation.
Yes, thank you. So when I attempted to bring my students from both sides that have a common faith in Jesus, it didn't work out. And many of you heard the story. So the assumption that if you're a Christian, you believe in Jesus, you meet others, you will work it out. We all know many times it doesn't work, especially in difficulties of some of life challenges and conflicts that we have. So I thought that if I bring people like Eric, a pastor, in from both sides, things will work out. They're not to be the pastor. Pastors are more difficult than the students. You know, the assumption that they preach and that they spend time with God, they are will be able to do it better. And that turned out to be not the case. Out of desperation, I took a group of 15 students, Palestinian Christian, and 15 Israeli Jewish Messianic into the desert. We drove all the way to the places far away where our father Abraham was there. So people, it was very interesting. We arrived to this Bedouin tent and we sat down, and immediately they were ready and they were saying to me, okay, let's talk about the issues. And I said, wait a minute, we're not going to talk about the issues. So we started like typical reconciliation meeting. We have a common faith in God. We read the verses from the scripture. We love. They will know us by our love and what Jesus did to us on the cross. We sang some songs, we ate. Nighttime come, the Israeli went to sleep in one side and the Palestinian other side. And my Israeli colleague and myself, we ended up in the middle with one eye open, wondering what's going to happen. You know, we're talking about people that have common faith, but still they were very charged, very angry, very frustrated. So in the morning, I brought 15 camels, and on each camel I put Israeli and Palestinian, and we crossed the desert on camels. By the third day, they become friends. Why the desert? If you reflect back into the scripture, God took the children of Israel with slave mind into the desert, into to be transformed, where in the desert, we are all in equal place. We cannot play power games. In the desert, the other, our enemy, become our source of survival. And we need to help each other. In that context, we discover who we are, who we, each other. One of the things that we discover in any conflict is, in a minute you divide people, us and them, and you put competition, people dehumanize each other. As in the 60s, in North Carolina, a white teacher divided the kids in their class to brown eyes, blue eyes. In a minute, she did that and put in competition. The kids were awful toward each other. This is who we are as human. But not only the children of Israel. David went into the desert to be transformed. Also, Jesus went to the desert. But one of the greatest story, narrative about transformation in the desert experience is we hear with one of the vicious or hardest conflict between two brothers, Jacob and Esau. And Jacob, before he meet his brother, he encountered the angel of God, the angel of Yahweh, in the book of River. And there is a struggle. And that is really key things for us, that first casualty is conflict, is our identity. Jacob was a crook. He cheated his father. He cheated his brother. He cheated his father-in-law. He got been cheated in his family. He was a person that was not walking straight with God. So in order for us to reconcile, we need to have identity transformation, and the desert give us through Christ. So Jacob transformed his identity and struggle, inner struggle, who he is and what, how he behaved and his relationship with God. And as a result, his name changed from Jacob to Israel. Israel means to be straightening his path with God, that he strive with God. So for Jacob, ability to reconcile with his brother is the encounter in the desert that enabled him to be open and to be embraced by his brother. So that is a key thing.
Thanks for joining us on the Post-Christian Podcast. More resources available at ericbryant.org.